So, Father God, we give you praise this morning. We thank you. There's none like you. There's none with whom to compare you. You are God all by yourself. There is nothing that escapes your attention and nothing by which you are surprised. So, Lord, we come to you and we reiterate our commitment to you and our trust in you. These are trying times. These are times of uncertainty in so many ways, God, but you are certain. You are sure. You are faithful. And so we give you praise. We acknowledge that you are our God. We acknowledge you in all our ways, for your word clearly tells us that if we shall acknowledge you in all our ways, you will direct our paths. Lord, we need direction. We need direction as never before. Lord, give us direction individually. Give us direction as a congregation. Give us direction, God, as a city and as a community and as a country, Lord. We need you. We need your guidance. We need your direction. We need revelation, God. We pray, God, for the frontline workers during this pandemic, those who are EMTs and fire personnel, police personnel, the doctors, nurses, and healthcare workers, Lord, the housekeeping staff, everyone at these medical facilities, God, who is working so hard. Bless the researchers, God. Give them insight and understanding how to combat and defeat this virus. And Father, in the meantime, all the millions of testimonies that are coming forth, God, and all the hundreds of thousands of people that are actually recovering, we give you praise for each and every life. Bless the bereaved families, we pray, God, those who are mourning the loss of loved ones. We pray, God, that you will be their comfort, be their peace. Now, Lord, give us understanding and revelation today as we open up your word, as we look further into this conversation that you have begun with us on spiritual spring cleaning. We'll be careful to give your name the glory, the praise of which you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. So praise the Lord. Good morning, Brother Larry. I'm glad you guys are still with me. You know, I have my eyes closed there, so I just like open my eyes and say, are they still there? But y'all are still there. So praise God. We're going to get going this morning. As I said, we are in what is actually the last installment. This is the final installment this week of what has been a five-week series. I love those five-week Sundays. It gives me a little extra time. On spiritual spring cleaning. And we spent a good bit of time last week. I hope that you were here. If not, be very sure to run back and on this page, on this Facebook page, and check out the replay. Good morning, Sister Regina. Good morning, Sister Renee. Good to see you this morning. So go back and check out that replay. As I said, I've also included in the description section there a link to an audio-only version of it, because I know Facebook was kind of choppy last week. I'm on a different computer this week, and hopefully that it looks real clear to me. So hopefully we're not getting the choppiness that we did last week. Praise God. So prayer peeking is allowed. That's good to know, Brother Larry. So I'm glad that when I open my eyes, you guys are still there and others are coming in. Good morning, Sister Jean. Good to see you this morning. So again, we've been looking at this whole concept or this whole idea of spiritual spring cleaning that God has had us on. And I got to tell you, he knows everything and his timing is perfect. And so I don't think that there's a better time for us than now to be engaging in this particular topic of spiritual spring cleaning, because we got a little time, y'all, all of us being locked at home and that kind of thing. Good morning, my dear wife. Glad that you figured it out and got on. I'm glad that he's bringing this kind of message right now for us while we've got a little time to do this and to reflect on what it is that may be cluttering up our lives that we need to get rid of in this spring cleaning. Let me tell you, in my excitement and enthusiasm that there is an after coming. There is an after coming. When God has us doing spring cleaning, spiritual spring cleaning in this case, it's for a reason. It's a matter of preparation. It's a matter of preparation for what is coming after. God has us on assignment. I want you to understand very clearly this morning that whether you are in the pulpit or whether you're on the back row, and we're all on the back row today, right? That you have an assignment. God has given you an assignment. There are people assigned to you. There are people assigned to you. And so I want you to know that God is preparing us not only for our own life of joy and fulfillment in Him. Certainly that is the case. He desires that for all of us and has made a way for all of that. But also there are people that are assigned to you, and you're going to need to free yourself of the clutter, spiritually speaking, and maybe also other kinds of ways that we don't normally consider. You're going to need to free yourself of the clutter to be ready for the after these things part. It's coming. It's coming. Let me tell you, there are just so many miracles in the midst of this pandemic situation that it is just amazing. I read just this morning of a woman in Italy who has recovered from the coronavirus infection. And while that is great, lots of people recovering, tens of thousands of people recovering, what was unique about this woman's story is that she's 102. 102 years old. See, God wasn't through with her. There was still something for her to do. And so she's still here. They had her eating some cake. I guess she got a brand new birthday. This is the day I survived Corona. And so I was just enthused to see that miracle. We know, of course, there are lots of other kinds of situations going on that aren't so great in the news. But we are trusting God to bring us through. We're trusting God that He has endowed us with purpose. He has endowed us with purpose. He is the one who gives meaning to our lives. When we're trying to figure it out, when we're trying to make sense of it all, it is God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we're able to ask or imagine. And so we thank God that He is our light in darkness. He is our way maker. He's our miracle worker. And so we can continue to trust in Him. So one of the things then that we're trusting Him about right now is this spiritual spring cleaning that He's got us doing. And we said at the beginning of the study that by spiritual spring cleaning, what we're talking about is throwing out concepts, throwing out practices, behaviors, and even theologies that do not serve us and our purpose, and that don't serve those to whom we're assigned. As I mentioned before, rather emphatically, you have an assignment. There are people assigned to you. Now, obviously, if you're a parent, we know some of those folk real quick who are assigned to you, right? Those little lives that are assigned to you. But you have folks perhaps in your neighborhood, folks on your job, folks that you're just going to run into at the grocery store. And we need to be ready to make good on the assignment that God has for us. Man, I can't hardly wait to get back to the house of God. I'll be like David, saying that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Because while this is fun for me, I'm kind of a techie guy. I also really enjoy people. I love people. And I can't wait to get back with you and hug your neck, as we say in the country, and that kind of thing. But in the meantime, I want you to understand that there's some stuff that God wants to get rid of in you. Now, I call it spiritual spring cleaning, but I made it very clear for those of you who were present for the first installment this month of this particular series, that by spiritual, I mean things that maybe we don't always consider spiritual. For the believer, everything is spiritual. Let me say that again. For the believer, everything is spiritual. And so, whether you are fasting and praying and reading your word, that kind of thing, we think of that as spiritual right off. But even what you're eating is spiritual. Uh-oh, Mark, you're meddling now. I'm not trying to meddle. I'm just trying to tell you that you need to broaden the concept, perhaps, of what you consider spiritual. And so you understand more fully what he's talking about when he says spiritual spring cleaning. He's taken this spring, this time right now. And can I add in, Minister Rogers, can I add in that it's right before Easter? Easter's coming up real quick. We'll get more on that later. But it is perfect timing. It's perfect timing for us to do some spiritual spring cleaning. So listen, that may mean for you also dropping a few pounds. I know some folks are going to come out of this pandemic hibernation about 20 pounds heavier, because they've been sitting on the couch, binging Netflix and eating bonbons. and they're going to come out bad. All right. I don't want you to be those people. Hopefully you're going to be lean and trim when you come out of there, because you've been seeking God about what behaviors you might need to change a little bit. Maybe some foods you need to put down. Maybe some things you need to do a little differently. Maybe you need to take a little of this time to walk around the blocks. Now, stay 6 feet away from whoever you find out there, but go out and walk around the block. Maybe twice, three times. Because God is wanting us in tip-top shape for the after that's coming. You know what comes after spring is summer. And after summer, fall, and after fall, winter. We got a lot of 2020 left, y'all. And there are things that God intends to manifest for us, in us, and through us that will require that during this time, we do some cleanup. We do some spring cleaning. We get rid of some stuff. So we talked last week at length about this whole idea or concept of I am versus I am not. Do it yourself versus do it with God. Preferably with him leading, in fact. And this is a concept that is so important for us in the church to understand. Because not only in the world do we find these concepts at work and these behaviors at work of, you know, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and however that is possible. Anyway, this do-it-yourself mentality, this am not, so I gotta prove that I am, even though I really don't think I am. And so we're on this treadmill, kind of the hamster wheel type of situation, because we ain't going anywhere. And we are doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. Y'all know what that's about. And God says, wait, time out. I need you to take a break. I need you to use this time for some spiritual spring cleaning. I want you to understand that begins with knowing your identity in Christ. And I'm kind of summarizing a little bit today, because this is the last installment. We're going somewhere else next week, y'all. I'm already excited about it. But I want you to get this, that your identity in Christ, identity and relationship, man, that is it. If you said, Mark, you can only have a couple of messages ever to preach, you know, again, I would begin with relationship and identity. And then I'd sneak in the finished work of Christ in that faith, righteousness. But I'd be done right there. That's about all I've got. Any message you ever hear me teach or preach really comes from that, because that's the foundation of everything. God created the heavens and the earth, put man in the garden for relationship. It was his number one priority. That hasn't changed. He still wants relationship with us. We do a ton of stuff, though, that hinders that relationship. And so we want to get those things out of the way so we can get back to a full-fledged relationship with God the way that, you know, the way Adam had it in the beginning, where they're talking and communing and man, you know, man is in charge of what he's in charge of, but he's doing everything in concert with God. That's how it was meant to be from the beginning. And so it is out of that relationship that man derives his identity. It's how he knows who he is on the basis of the relationship that he has with God. I'm smiling, man, because I just, that is so key. It is so key. And in this world, in 2020, with all the craziness that we got going on, right? It is so easy to allow things to come in and hinder that. It's so easy even to pick up habits. It's so easy to pick up mindsets. It's so easy to pick up concepts and even, yes, theologies that hinder that, that actually come against what it is that God intends for us. He intends, number one, for relationship. That's his number one priority. And we don't want any clutter. We don't want any hindrance to that. And out of that relationship, as I said, we then derive our identity. Paul spends a lot of time in the New Testament, Paul the ambassador of grace, of the gospel of grace. He spends a lot of time talking about things that tend to focus on our identity, tend to help us to understand who we are in Christ. Probably one of the most notable, obviously, is 2 Corinthians 5, where he says, you know, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And so this talks about then an immediate cleaning up of things. And some of that cleanup is ongoing, and some of it is, you know, we have to go back and do it again because we've allowed things to clutter up. I don't know if any of you got a storage unit at home or maybe somewhere else. Maybe you got several of them. I don't know. For stuff that you know, decide you're going to need sometime, maybe in 2037, you may need that. So you hanging on to it. My wife would tell you that I'm a little bit that way, just a little bit that way with some things. But there comes a time where you need to go through and get rid of stuff that isn't serving you, that you really don't need, and that may in fact be hindering both your relationship with God and your purpose in God. See, if you've got a person ready to run a race, but you look down and there is a ball and chain attached to your leg, how fast are you going to be able to go? Not very is the answer. Not very fast at all. The writer of the Hebrews letter tells us that we ought to lay aside every weight and run this race. You can't run the race effectively with a bunch of weight. You can't do the ministry and the assignment that God has for you with a bunch of clutter. And that clutter, understand, I'm trying to be very clear, that clutter consists of bad concepts, bad behaviors that are interfering with your relationship with God and your purpose in God. And so he comes now to tell us, Deliverance Temple, it's cleanup time. Take this time to clean up, to get back to some basics. We want to be all advanced. We want to be super smart. We want to be high tech. We want to be all that, right? But the basics are what you've got to remember. When you get away from his love and relationship priority, you've missed everything. You are off on your own. You're going sideways, downhill fast. If you get off of the whole foundational concept of his unconditional love for you and his desire for relationship with you, that's where it all starts. As I say, then you develop a sense of identity and belonging. Oh my God, I hear you, Holy Spirit. He says, and belonging, that's important because some folks feel like they don't belong. Some folks in a crowd feel like they're all alone. And we're getting a little piece of that all aloneness right about now with this pandemic. But he wants us to know without any shadow of doubt that his love for us hasn't changed. His desire for relationship with us hasn't changed. And he has for us a ministry. I know that, don't get scared when you hear that word. I'm not no preacher. I'm not talking about that. But we all have a ministry. We all have an assignment in him. Because guess what? That person next to you, maybe in your house or down the street or at the grocery store or at work at the water cooler, he loves them every bit as much as he loves you. He loves them every bit as much as he loves you. And so, you know, understand, Pastor Carol, you know, you're never alone. Even there in your apartment by yourself, we're never alone. We are always with him, and there's always something that he has for us to do. But understand, to do, you got to be first. The be precedes the do. Make sense? And so that identity piece comes up. So, in the seventh chapter of the book of Mark, who ever heard that before? Oh, yeah. In the seventh chapter of the book of Mark, verse number 13, and I love this out of the King James, see if I can do this and still stay on with you. Jesus is talking to some folks here, and he says, "You make the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye." New American Standard says, you're invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many things such as this. I want you to understand there, Jesus is not just talking to these folk here, but by extension to us today. We continue to make the word of God and the will of God of no effect. It's not effective in our lives because of the fact that we are hanging on to traditions. We're hanging on to stuff that we've learned from wherever. May have been from mom and dad. May have been from Oprah. Wherever you learned it from, you know, CNN, somewhere. That doesn't, it doesn't mesh with, it doesn't gel with the word of God. It doesn't gel with God's intention for you. And so you invalidate it. You invalidate it. You make it of no effect in your life. You know, I'm reminded of the psalmist saying, you know, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together." And you know, at first glance, you're just like, is that even possible? How do you magnify the Lord? How do you make him any bigger than he already is? Is that even possible? It is possible because it is by your praise and worship and attention on him that he is bigger in your life and experience. Obviously, you can't make him any bigger, faster, stronger than he is by anything you do, but you can make him more alive, more great, more effective in your own personal life and experience by magnifying him, by telling of his great goodness and his wonderful deeds to the children of men. And so likewise here, when we have things that cause doubt, fear, these things are antithetical. They run afoul and against who God wants to be to us, who he wants to be in us. And so he says, I gotta get that out of the way. I gotta clean that up so you can do and be who I've called you to do and be. And so we want to get rid of mindsets and traditions, as Jesus says here in Mark chapter 7, traditions that have been handed down to us or that we picked up from wherever we picked them up from, that are not serving us, not serving the relationship that God intends for us to have with him, and by extension then not serving those to whom we're assigned. I hope this makes sense. You know, sometimes teachers are known for a little bit of repetition, but repetition, it is said, is the mother of learning. And I really want you to get it. I'm not that guy who is teaching to show how smart I am, or is teaching so that you're impressed, or teaching so that, people will say, oh, he's a great teacher. None of that. And I'm sure not that guy who is teaching, and there are some out there, Lord help us, to confuse you. You know, because it exalts me some kind of way if I can confound and confuse you. That is not my purpose ever. I want you to get it. I want you to get it. God wants you to get it. And so I'm hoping that I'm being clear here, if repetitive, about these concepts. Because the clearer you are, the clearer you are on these basic godly concepts, the more easily you recognize the counterfeit. It is said, and I don't know, I've never worked inside of a bank or as a teller or what have you, but it is said that one of the ways that tellers are trained to spot counterfeit money is they have them really closely examine and feel real money. Because the more familiar they are with the real, the more familiar they are with the correct, the more familiar they are with the authentic. Ah, hallelujah. The more easily they'll spot a fake. They won't even have to mark that thing. They're like, wait a minute, that ain't right. They'll know it right off the bat. And so this is the way it is with our relationship with God and our life in God. The more that we are able to experience that authentic relationship with him, the more that we are able to understand his will and desire for us, his unconditional love for us. Oh my God, you've got to get this, folks. His unconditional love for you. If you don't believe that he loves you, then you're open for all kinds of other stuff. You're open for all kinds of other doubts and fears to invade your life. If you don't really believe that he loves you and loves you unconditionally. John tells us in his epistle, chapter 4, that we have absolutely nothing to fear from one who loves us perfectly, and that is God. The King James puts it this way, that perfect love casts out fear, because fear has to do with torment. It has to do with judgment. We're afraid of what he might do to us. That's not the kind of relationship that he wants with us. He has a relationship in mind of pure love, unconditional love. You say, well, Mark, what about when I do something wrong? I do something bad. Well, John talks about that also in his epistle. He says, hey, listen, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he's there for us. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He is making intercession for us. The Hebrew writer tells us he ever liveth to make intercession for us. We know that we can confess our sins, confess our faults, and we are forgiven. Because guess what? He already forgave you. He already forgave you. If the cross and the resurrection are valid at all, they were valid before. Here's what I'm saying. That was nearly 2,000 years ago, right? Nobody on this line that is 2,000 years old. So he did what he did before you even got here. He forgave you of every sin before you even showed up. And so we need, yes, to confess, to clean that out, to keep the pathway open, to keep that conduit of relationship open with him. but understand that we do so in full assurance of his forgiveness. It's not like, well, I'm going to ask him, but he probably ain't going to do it. You know, and this is where we fall sometimes then into a works righteousness mentality. This is one of the areas that is wide open for deception right there, where the evil one comes in and says, you know, because he did it with Eve, right? All the way back to the beginning. You're like, is that really what he said? Are you sure he really loves you? I don't know, man. You've been doing some pretty bad stuff, dude. I don't know. You know, I think you might need to crawl on your knees on broken glass with a cross on your back uphill, you know, while fasting 21 days. And then maybe, you know, maybe he'll forgive you. But I wouldn't count on it, man. I don't know. And by sowing these seeds of doubt in our minds about the perfect love of God for us, about his desire to have relationship with us, and about our true identity in him, then we open up for all kinds of error. We open up for all kinds of deception. We open up for every kind of philosophy that's out there. So over in, I mentioned this last week. Let me go here if I can to Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8. Beware. This is Paul speaking, and he's telling us, telling the Colossian church and thus us by extension here, to take note. Beware. This is Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men. Oh my God, where did I just hear that? Oh yeah, that was Jesus over in Mark chapter 7, talking about the traditions of men being handed down that make the word of God of no effect. Paul says here, beware of these philosophies, these vain deceits, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Let me read that in another version. Let me go to the New American Standard here, which is my favorite. And verse number 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men. There's that do-it-yourself tree thinking. Again, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that do-it-yourself tree, that I am not tree. According to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of this world, rather than, and this is very important, rather than according to Christ. It is not that that there aren't any traditions or philosophies or what have you in the world that don't have some validity or some benefit. That's not what he's saying. He's saying by establishing those above Christ, rather than Christ, I don't need God. I don't need the Lord to figure this out. I do it myself. I do it because I'm really smart. I do it because I've got, you know, I've been to school. I'll do it because this is the way, you know, people do it. Everybody knows this is how it works. So we take these empty traditions, these vain, deceitful philosophies. Get that right there. Because this kind of thinking is deceptive, because it leads you away from the truth of God's desire for relationship with you, and of his unconditional love, and of your identity and authenticity and innocence in him. And when you get off track from that, man, you are in a world of hurt. You are on your own. You're biting off that do-it-yourself tree. And it's going to be toil and pain in your future. That's what's up. God doesn't want us on that. And Paul comes here warning again, just as Jesus did in Mark chapter 7, about these vain traditions. You know, listen, let me make this real clear before we get off of here today. Let me break this down in a way that you can understand and appreciate, I hope. This thing, I told you, everything is spiritual. It's not just, you know, going to church or singing a worship song or, getting happy or falling out, speaking in tongues, rolling in the aisles. It's not even just about your giving or praying or fasting. All of that's great, wonderful, but I want you to understand. I want you to understand and be very clear that what you eat, where you go, what you do, how you are, how you treat people, that's all spiritual as well. And it is some of those kinds of things, you know, Jesus warned again, the Pharisees, he was always warning them because they was always doing something stupid. He warned them that, yeah, you're cleaning the outside of the cup. This looks real good, but inside is nasty. And so we do real good sometimes at appearances, right? At keeping everything, you know, looking really good on the outside, and we're allowing all kinds of nastiness inside, right here, okay? Especially right here through those vain philosophies, those deceitful philosophies and traditions of mankind seeping in. And it begins to show also in your behavior. It begins to show in your behavior. It begins to show in the results that you're getting in your life because of the choices that you're making. I hope I'm being clear. You don't weigh 816 pounds because, you know, it just happened. You got 816 pounds one spoon at a time, okay? It became habit. It became, you know, the tradition that you followed. And if you look back at that, there's probably some thoughts that actually spurred that behavior. I'm not loved. You know, food is my only friend. Nobody loves me. What have you? I'm just using this as an example. Don't thank you, Minister, appreciate that. You know, God wants us to take this time, especially this time, and I had no way of knowing, of course, when he dropped this on me that we'd be talking these 5 weeks about spiritual spring cleaning, I had no idea that we'd be on lockdown from a global pandemic around this coronavirus. But it's essential that we do take this time and wake up to the fact that he is wanting to do some cleaning in us, wanting us to do some cleaning, wanting us to get straight. And I'm hoping to get across to you that primarily this begins right here in your own heart and mind. It begins right here in your own heart and mind. Because listen, some of you, I wish I had had my whiteboard right now because I love to do that. But some of you have seen me draw on the board, B T F A R, and that stands for beliefs. Then what you believe in your heart then informs your thoughts. All right. What you think about then informs your feelings. And they together then inform your actions or behaviors. And those actions or behaviors then give rise to results in your life. So if you don't like the results in your life, you need to track back and see where the problem is. Very oftentimes, it's all the way back at the beginning of that equation in our beliefs, in what we believe about God, what we believe about ourselves. And if what we believe about ourselves is not rooted in that fundamental truth of his desire for relationship with us and his unconditional love for us, then we're going to have some crazy thoughts. And let me tell you, when you start having crazy thoughts, guess what? You will find plenty of other folks out there to help you think crazy. You'll find plenty of TV shows and internet programs to help you think crazy. The philosophies, these deceitful philosophies and traditions of men rather than Christ, Paul says, Colossians 2 and 8. He said, beware. Don't let this stuff take you captive. It's a trick of the enemy. Don't let the enemy convince you that your happiness is out there somewhere, in a thing, even in another person. Because if you're not clean inside here, and by clean, I'm not talking about, well, I'm not cussing, smoking, drinking, chasing people, but, you know, that's all bad. We know that, I hope. But I'm really talking about cleaning the clutter of your mind, these concepts and practices and theologies that have got you off track and that are hindering your relationship with God. He still loves you. Understand that. But you're putting hindrances there. Paul tells us that we were at one time alienated from God. But listen. He tells us that we were alienated in our minds. I'm going to let that sit there for just a second. Because some of us have got this idea that, you know, we do something wrong, well, we spit on the sidewalk, and he don't love me no more. And we from that tradition of men, and these traditions are not just out there in the world, they're in the church too. This works righteousness, this guy, I got to be perfect on my own so God will love me. That is insanity. When he has made the way clear and available for us. And so it all begins, trying to land this plane here. It all begins then with our getting with God and understanding that he loves us unconditionally and wants relationship with us. We can then begin to be more comfortable allowing Holy Spirit to shine the light on those dark areas, to shine the light on those concepts, to shine the light on those behaviors, on those habits that aren't serving you. They call it a habit because you do it over and over. You may not even like it, but you've done it so long, you're just like, well, this is just how it is. And you're driven by it. You're driven by it. You know, I look at people who have, I am not coming for you, so don't think that I am. I'm just using this as an example. But I look at folks who smoke cigarettes, and as a non-smoker, I can't see it. I work with folks who smoke and vape, and every little bit, man, they got to run outside and get that nicotine fixed. They got to get it. And besides the health concerns, all right, besides the health concerns, I look at them and I'm like, man, this thing is driving you. You know, you're not driving it. It's driving you. That's what habits do. Bad ones anyway. There are good habits as well, I want you to understand. But there are bad habits that get in our way. There are bad habits of thinking. Every time we encounter a particular situation, that old thought comes up. That old concept begins to play in our mind. God don't really love me. I'm so bad. It'll probably never work out. I just, man, you know, all of this craziness. So as we do some spiritual spring cleaning this spring, and I guess technically you got between now and the middle of June for it to still be spring. We just got into spring, but hopefully it won't take you quite that long. But I want you to begin today, if you haven't already, really begin today to consider, allowing God to show you what needs to go. Allowing him to show you what kind of thinking, what kind of concepts and philosophies, and yes, even habit, even practical habits, that you need to change and adjust in your life so that you can enjoy the relationship with him that he wants to have with you, you know, and so that you can be prepared for what's coming after the pandemic, after whatever is going on in your life, after the present trouble that you're in. You know, we want to be sure that we are able and ready to live our best life. Okay. And I'm going to suggest to you once again that that only comes with knowing that we are loved by God. You, Aubrita Clark, are loved by God. Glad you're joining this morning. You're loved by God. And it all starts right there with understanding His desire for relationship with you, His unconditional love for you. And so we got to allow Holy Spirit to root out all of this craziness. All this craziness. Yeah, amen, Sister Kamara. We got to root out this craziness. There are things that are just hindering us. It may not be, you know, bad in the eyes of others, and it certainly may not be illegal, you know. I can go to the store and buy whatever. I can go through McDonald's, the drive-thru's still open, y'all, right? And if I want to order $217 worth of Big Macs, guess what? If I got $217, they'll give them to me. They will sure give them to me. Come again. Thank you. But how many of y'all understand? I ain't got no business eating $217 worth of Big Macs. I just don't have any business doing that. A lot of things that are hindering us. They may not be illegal or even immoral, but they are hindering our relationship with God. And the Lord says it's time for a spiritual spring cleaning. It's time to clean out that old stinking thinking. It's time that you understand and really accept wholeheartedly with a firm grip, settling your mind once and for all, settling your heart once and for all. He absolutely loves me. He absolutely does want relationship with me. He absolutely does have a life of purpose for me, a life of meaning for me. And He has an assignment for me. Probably several of them, right? He has an assignment for you. There, you know, it's time to be about the Father's business. It's time to do what He has for us to do. So, praise God. I hope that this has been a blessing to you today. I want to look, just take a quick look through. right. Yes. Amen, Sister Roslyn says it takes a lot of energy to love wrong, more so than it does to live right, you know? And I tell you, yeah, living wrong is rough. It is a lot of work. It is a lot of work. I saw a prayer request earlier also. Sister Rita asked us to remember those of Jonesboro, Arkansas, who are dealing with the aftermath of a serious tornado on top of this whole pandemic thing that's going on, of course. She has family and friends who have not been confirmed as okay. So we want to take a moment to pray as we close out today. We'll remember the people of Jonesboro, Arkansas, and the surrounding area there where a tornado has come through. There are situations, you know, sometimes in our lives where one thing on top of another. We're praying for you, Sister Kamara, Sister Aubrita. Amen. We're definitely going to pray that you overcome those things you need to overcome. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to do that. And we're going to believe God. We're going to believe God to do just what we're asking Him to do. Amen. Amen. Sister Linda, prayer for a cousin who has COVID-19, has contracted the coronavirus. And so we're definitely praying. And I want you to pray in faith, man. I want you to believe. You know, when you're praying, listen, we sometimes hear all the bad stuff and none of the good stuff. There are hundreds of thousands of people, yes, that have been infected. But most of them, the vast majority of them, are surviving. We know that, you know, thousands of people have died. We get that. But tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands of people are recovering, including, as I told you at the top of the hour, a 102-year-old woman in Italy has recovered. She's sitting up eating cake. Hallelujah. So God is able, right? He is more than able. And so we're going to believe with you there. So let me go ahead and pray, and we'll close out this broadcast. I hope that you have been edified and blessed and encouraged today. That certainly was my intention. And I'll also remind you that at 11 o'clock a.m., we will have our morning worship service on teleconference. The phone number is at the top of the page in the pinned announcements. Just dial that number in at 11 o'clock today. We're moving to 11 o'clock, trying to avoid some of the congestion on the phone lines that happens on the East Coast. So some of those East Coast people will have their services kind of done by then, because it'll already be noon for them, as it's 11 o'clock for us. Praise God. God bless you, Sister Jean. Appreciate you so much. All right, let's pray. Father God, we give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you, God, for who you are and who you are in us. We thank you for your unconditional love. We thank you for your desire for relationship with us. And God, we come expressing our desire for relationship with you today. Father, cleanse us. Help us to clean out the clutter of bad thinking, wrong thinking, habits, everything that is not like you, everything that hinders our full participation in the life, our best life that you have made possible for us through Jesus Christ, through his finished work. Now, Father, we ask that you would look especially, Lord, on those in the Jonesboro area right now of Arkansas. We pray, God, for those that have gone through this terrible tornado situation. Lord, that you would begin even now to help them to recover, to heal. We pray, God, for those who have not yet been confirmed as okay, that they would be able to contact relatives quickly and to let them know that they are well. We pray, God, that you would bless the paramedics, the hospital workers, all the fire and police units, Lord, that are out making sure that folks are okay, getting them to safety or to the health care that they need. Move now, I pray, in Jesus' name in that situation. Father, we lift Sister Linda Hale's cousin to you. Lord, you are the healer, not just a healer, but you are the healer. God, you heal all manner of diseases. There's nothing too big for you. So we come on behalf of this cousin, Lord, and we pray, God, for complete healing, complete recovery from COVID-19 in the name of Jesus. Move now in that hospital room. Move now, God, on those lungs. Lord, begin to clear out and clean up the lungs. Open up the passageways, God. Eradicate that virus in their body right now, we pray, by the blood of Jesus. Do it, Father. Now, for these, God, who are dealing with various habits that they need to drop and let go of, things that aren't serving them well, aren't serving their purpose in you well, and is hindering, in fact, perhaps their relationship with you. God, we just pray for the strength of the Holy Spirit right now, internally. Holy Spirit, you are in them. Move now in power and in victory, giving them victory through Jesus Christ, I pray. Now, Lord, bless all these that have come on the line today. Everyone who will watch this replay, we pray, God, that they would be blessed, that they would be edified, that they would be encouraged in you. We give your name the glory, honor, and praise, of which you alone are worthy. And with that, we say amen, and amen, and amen, and amen, amen, Sister Linda. We're claiming victory in Jesus' name. God bless you all.